So I have three kids, Isabella, who's 13, and then I have David, who's 3, and then Daniel, who's 1. And I haven't told a lot of stories about Daniel, so I figure I would tell Daniel's story today. He's 18 months old. There he is, yep. He's wearing his little rookie shirt, wearing his little hat, probably somewhere at the park. And so one day, I got up. It was about a month ago. And I get up in the morning, and the boys are running around doing their thing. Hadi had gotten up with the boys, and they were having a good old time. They're playing with the cars, playing with the blocks. If anybody had a one-year-old in the house, you know a little bit of how that feels like. And so anyways, we also have a pretty tall staircase in our home. You know where this is going. And so we keep a gate on there. And so after a while, the boys are playing. We're just having a conversation, and the Hadi pipes in and says, honey, why don't you go check to see where Daniel is? Because I haven't heard from him in a while. So I start looking around. I'm like, Daniel, where are you? And I look at the top of the staircase, and there he is, at the very, very top of the staircase, laughing, smiling at me, talking to me. Now, he just thinks it's so funny that he made it through the gate all the way to the top of the stairs. That's at least 10 feet up there, all by himself. Now, is the issue that he went up to the top of the stairs? No. The issue is he went by himself. And he's so young, I don't want him to fall backwards. I want to make sure I protect him. And I think in a lot of ways, that's God's word for us today. God wants to walk right through you in whatever season of life that you're in, whether it's a season of celebration, whether it's a storm that you're facing, whether it's a transition that you're feeling. God wants to walk right next to you. Pastor Sean talked to us about the upward climb just 2 weeks ago. It's kind of like the staircase, isn't it? Growth always requires us to go up some kind of an upward climb, as a flight of stairs. So what flight of stairs are you facing that's going to be difficult? Throughout the spring, we've talked a lot about rising up, haven't we? Rise up in the midst of pain. Rise up to overcome your fears. Rise up when you face the unknown. Rise up in the midst of death. And today, we're going to talk a little bit less about rising up and talking more about resting. And I almost wanted to call this word rest up. But really, since that the Lord wants us today to understand how to rest in him, I want to help you to know today that God is in control. He won't let you go. There is a joy that comes from knowing the Lord in your day-to-day life. What's your upward climb? What is your upward climb? Where is the place that God's called you to rest? Sometimes the way we go up is to rest in him. So I want you, if you're a Christian here today, I want you to think about your kind of the beginning journey of faith that you had. Maybe you were super excited about God working in your life. You were learning how to go to church. You were excited to tell other people about him. Maybe you started reading the Bible and God was revealing himself to you. Maybe you started going to church. Maybe you grew up in a home where nobody talked about church or you didn't have the opportunity to come to church. Or maybe you became a Christian as an adult. But then something, as time went on, you started to experience some things that you weren't expecting. But how many of you can relate to this statement? Life happens. Yep. Okay. Yep. I know. I can definitely relate to that. You see, it can become very difficult to live out an enduring faith in Christ when life's battles and valleys don't work out the way we had hoped. We get worn out. We get tired. We give up. A lot of times, I know when I feel tired, I just want to go off and be by myself somewhere, go do what I want to do. But God's saying today, I want to help you to know what to do when life happens and who to remember when things just aren't working out. Let me give you an answer today. The answer is Jesus, right? Yeah, the answer is Jesus. And we're like, okay, Pastor Jason, I get that. I'm in charge. You're supposed to say Jesus. But God says, be still. I've got this. Peace. Be still. You see, when we walk through our fears instead of around them, then we have the opportunity to discover an enduring faith in Jesus. See, the truth is you can rest in the waiting. God's got this. God's in control. Enduring faith is found in the presence of the Lord as we seek him one step at a time. You might think of that as one day at a time. Because we tend to think of faith as this really, really big thing that we have to do. And God's saying, whoa, hold up. I want you to seek after me one step at a time, one step of obedience, to take one step of faith. You know, you might be here this morning, and God's just moving in your life, and everything's going well. But let me tell you, as a as a believer who's been a believer for many years, it's not always going to be that simple, is it? Things are going to come up. Life happens. Today, I want to talk to us about what to do when life happens. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that in you, we can find all meaning and value we need to rest in the waiting. God, someone is here this morning that needs to hear this word desperately. Father, who maybe has given up faith. Lord, there's someone here this morning who doesn't know faith in Christ. Father, we just submit ourselves to you. We want to ask you to have your word here. Let your word speak to our hearts. Father, you do things that only you can do. Lord, we need you. We confess our need for you. We just thank you for the measure of your great love, grace, and peace, and hope that is only found in you. Choose us to trust in you today. Lord, this is definitely a word that's more about trusting you than it is about doing. But Father, we know that in trusting you, you're going to inspire us to walk out your word, to do what you called us to do. So we just believe this is to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The holy habitation of the Most High, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes the war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. Psalms 46 was written by the sons of Korah. This psalm is a hymn and really proclaims God in the city of Zion. One of the key aspects is that God himself desires to come to the defense of his people in the midst of every circumstance. There's real trouble in the land, and the writer proclaims the sovereignty of God to deliver his people in spite of whatever they might, wherever they might be. God is greater than the greatest circumstances you face, the greatest victory that you have. Waiting on God to move is another key theme here. But more than waiting on God, the psalm really captures this idea that we should not fret. Instead, rest in the promise that God will deliver his people. This promise of rest is key for experiencing enduring faith. Enduring faith is found in the presence of the Lord as we seek him, one step at a time. So our culture has its own idea about rest. I'd like to talk to you about that for a minute. Rest is probably not something that we as American culture do very well. If I talk about rest, for example, we might talk about going to the lake. Or, you know, this time of year, people talk a lot about going, doing the great outdoors, right? Or maybe they, they're going to the beach. Whatever it might be, whatever their freedom rest. Maybe it's yard work. I like doing the yard work sometimes. But I will say this. I did a little bit of a study on this. And did you know that Americans, more than any other industrialized country, work more hours than anybody else? Take a look at the stats here. Americans work 137 more hours per year than Japanese workers. 260 more hours per year than any of the British workers, and 499 more hours per year than the French workers. What are the French doing? Maybe we should move there, right? All right, here's a stat for all of our new parents out there, our young parents. Did you know that in the industrialized world, the United States is the only country that does not require new parents to take a parental leave? The average parental leave across the world is 12 weeks. So we're talking about both mom and dad. And so as a society, rest is something we tend not to do well. It appears that way. But Scripture is very clear that rest is supposed to be part of life. God has given us the ability to believe for strength when we are weary. So let's look at the perspective of rest from the Scriptures. I think Hebrews 4 does a nice job of this. It says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest. And see, rest is found when we trust in God, when he is with us. And more than just taking a day off, we see God created the earth in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh, right? And we can read that and think, well, God took a day off. I was like, no, that's really not the principle here. The principle here is rest started in creation. That seventh day was designed to glorify who God is, to be able to witness his creation and see how his glorious splendor and all of that. And so it's not so much that God needed to rest. I mean, he's almighty. He's all-powerful, right? So that brings us really to point number one. And I want you to see verse 3 there. It says, now we who have believed, enter that rest. That's the kind of rest that God is calling us to have. Believe in him. Trust in him. Okay? Are we getting this? Are we getting this, church? Amen. So we're called to have faith. Have faith, don't doubt, obey his word. So we see in there, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. So how is your faith in God's word? It's kind of like this ruler right here, okay? When we come to faith in Christ, we begin to understand the basics of faith. We learn that we should read the Bible. We learn that, hey, let's go to church. We understand that, hey, we should learn how to pray, or we learn how to begin talking to God. And so we're practicing these early days of faith, and you work on getting the basics down, right from wrong, reading the Bible, how to talk to God, the Ten Commandments, going to church, all those things. How many of you remember those days of faith? Yep. But over time, though, your faith is going to grow in such a way that this ruler is not going to be big enough to do the job that it needs to do. So, for example, let's say I went to one of you, or maybe I went to Paul Patton over here, and I said, Paul, I'm going to go build a house with this little ruler. Is that going to be big enough? It's not going to work out, is it? I'm not going to get very accurate measurements every time. So we need a bigger ruler. Now, practically speaking, let me explain what I mean. My experience has been, this is really important, that usually something happens in my faith journey that helps me to transition to a new season of faith. It's usually in seasons of transition that the ruler has to change. They're called to grow to a greater season of faith. Examples of this could include a spiritual retreat or a missions trip that I go on. Or it could be getting water baptized. Or it could be practicing a new spiritual discipline. And see, as we practice new spiritual disciplines, our measure of faith begins to grow and get larger. We begin to understand a greater dimension of God's word and how he's working in our life. So for me, I would say one of the first times I really had to change rulers was when I left home and I moved to Texas. I had grown up here in the church. I was here during Gary Williamson's time. He was a founding pastor here at Cornerstone. And then I was here during Pastor Wayne's time. Pastor Wayne baptized me. And I'm continuing to walk out this lifestyle of faith. And Pastor Sean, he was my youth pastor, and he spoke the word of God, and he taught me so many things. But God was calling me to more. It's not that Pastor Sean could have teach me everything I needed to know. It's that there was a new season of faith that God was calling me to. Far beyond anything that Pastor Sean could teach me. So on August the 14th, 2000, I take step in the fourth in the airport and I leave to go to a place where I knew nobody. Because I felt like God was calling me to this Honor Academy, the place where I would begin to discover what it meant to seek after God's calling on my life. There was a new season of faith. And I didn't know a single person, but God was in the middle of it all. As God grows God's word inside of you, your faith grows so that you can begin wrestling with some tougher questions about everyday faith in Jesus. Where am I supposed to go to college? What job do you want me to apply for? Which church family have you called me and my family to be a part of? How do I understand this very difficult passage of Scripture? And see, over time, though, as your faith continues to grow and grow, your capacity to trust God and not doubt God's word needs to continue to mature. Your ability to see and have faith in God's word has got to continue to grow and grow and grow. So after a while, we realize we can't just know the word. We've got to have the power of the word, the power of God's word living inside of us. It's kind of like this tape measure. Now, this tape measure, it looks like any kind of a tape measure, but it's not exactly like any tape measure that you've ever seen. All right? So this tape measure, it's a power tape measure, and I can, you know, adjust it however I need to. Because now we're getting into some really tough questions of faith. Who should I marry? God, are you calling me to go on the mission field? God, what career change are you calling me to take? And their continual steps of faith are super important because one day you're going to have to wrestle with God about some really difficult topics. God, why are my spouse and I struggling to get along? Lord, please help heal my brother or my sister. Lord, deliver me from this depression. I'm just struggling with it day in and day out. God, why didn't you help me to pass that course? God, I thought you told me to take that class. Why did I fail? Father, why did that person pass away? God, how much longer am I going to have to look for a job? Will I ever get married? Are you getting this? It takes a lifelong journey of faith to learn how to listen to the word of the Lord. But let me tell you something. If we're not careful, we can start to take some battle wounds along the journey. And our faith can become discouraged. It can become depressed. We start to lose that measure of faith living in us until suddenly the word of God, it's stored up in here, but we don't believe what it says anymore. Have you reached that point? Do you feel like you're getting there? Let's get to the next point, and that is to stand strong. I want you to understand to stand strong. Don't give up. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because at some point, the Holy Spirit, knowing God's word is not going to be enough. We have to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to understand in ways that we do not understand and have strength in ways that we do not have strength. And God's word, when he gives us power to understand his word in a greater way. Psalms 46, 4 and 10. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I want you to look at Psalms 37. Now, this is a very familiar passage to us. And a lot of times we can hear Psalms 46 and we're like, Pastor Jason, I'm supposed to be close to God no matter what happens. I know God's in control, but what am I supposed to do in the middle of all this? And I think Psalms 37 gives us an answer. What do we do as we rest in the waiting? Psalms 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We love verse 4, don't we? But then we skip out on verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still. There's that word again. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. See, the truth is many people just decide either to fret or just to give up when it's really time to stand up. And it's really time to stand strong and believe that God is with me, that his Holy Spirit is filling me, delight in me, God's word says, trust in me. I've got your back. I'm going to be right there, right next to you. For some of you, it might be time to go on a little flight of fear, to do something that's going to be a little bit bold. And no, it's not just a roller coaster at King's Dominion. So when I was a teenager, I had a season pass there. And then last year, after 21 years, I had another season pass. And I tried working there. That was a bad idea. Yeah, no, that's not a good idea. Better place to enjoy. And I go back with my daughter, Isabella. She wants to ride all the roller coasters, right? And here I am. I'm getting on all these different roller coasters. I'm standing on the flight of fear. And I'm looking, and I'm thinking, I'm the oldest person on this roller coaster. And so I'm sitting here talking to her and trying to tell Issa how this, you know, this roller coaster is going to go, because then I'm the expert, right? I've done this before. And I'm looking at Issa, it takes off, right? It's a blast coaster. And so I'm getting a little more boldness, and then we get a chance to do the big ride now, nowadays, Intimidator 305. You know, if you've done it, you know it's a really, really tall roller coaster. Yeah, I mean, that picture was taken at the top of the Eiffel Tower. To give you an idea how high that thing is, 300 feet up in the air. And you get to the top, and you're like staring up at the sky, and you look down, and it's like, oh my goodness, that is such a far drop. You ride the ride, and I have to say, it's the first time I've ever rode a roller coaster where I felt like I was going to pass out afterwards. I mean, what do you say about that? I think that's okay, right? So this is pretty funny, but God might be asking you a very important question. Where's your flight of fear? How is God calling you on a flight of fear? Because you know what? This is where we really discover how to live empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not just at the altar at a church service. Are you hearing me here? Not just on a mission trip. Not just on a winter event. God is calling you to greater and greater levels of faith. You know, maybe you're here this morning. It could be your academics. God's calling you to go to grad school. Maybe he's calling you to do a doctorate. Maybe God is calling you on a mission trip. Maybe he is going to call you to go to Ethiopia. Or maybe God's calling you to do something different in your parenting. Maybe the list goes on and on and on. Or it could be a little more private. It could be time to openly confess a sin that you've been holding on to that still needs healing in your life. After all these years and years and decades, God wants you to live empowered in the Holy Spirit. You can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, or you can continue to walk in sin. You can continue to be in your addictions. You can continue to do things that you shouldn't. God is saying, you know what? Let it all go. You know this passage in verse 10, Psalms 46, that rest, to be still? It's actually talking about letting go. To let go, let God take control. Let him be the one to direct your steps. Do you have a fear of the unknown? You serve a God who knows everything. Do you? Maybe it's a medical diagnosis. It just seems really, really dire. Whose report will you believe? Maybe there's something else. Maybe you've always wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you've just given up praying for that. God's saying, I am the baptizer. I want to fill you with my overflowing Spirit so that you can be free to live the life God has called you to live. So Christ's victory always begins through the transformation and the power of the Holy Spirit. But we stay strong in the Holy Spirit and develop enduring faith in Jesus as we stay in community. So I want to encourage you with this next word, live in community. Don't isolate. His peace is reflected through grace. Now you might be looking at Psalms 46 and saying, Pastor Jason, I don't understand how this passage has anything to do with being in community. Well, let's look at it. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. Now, that's actually, it's speaking of nations. Nations is really about people groups. It's not talking about physical nations, but people groups. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is really commander language. The Lord is the great commander over all the armies. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So the question is, who knows you? Who really knows you? God calls grace and faith to align through relationships. This is a plural passage. That's the way God's called us. In fact, if you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I don't know about you, but it's a famous verse. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We think of that as a singular passage, but if you look at verse 3, this is not in your notes. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, so he's talking to multiple people here, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. See, there's a measure of faith that God has given you that you're called to share with someone else. There are strengths, gifts, talents that God has given you that he hasn't given me. How has God called you to use it in community? to share it with others. In Mark chapter 4, verses 37 through 40, it's a really famous passage. I want you to take a look at that. It's Jesus in the storm. And the great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. Jesus is pretty smart, right? I mean, he's taken them through a storm. He knows what's going to happen. And what was Jesus doing? But he was in the stern to sleep on the cushion, and they awoke and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" The irony of that statement. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" See, Jesus taught faith in the context of relationships. And I think a lot of times we tend to live out our faith kind of like this. We know all the principles of Scripture, but we tend to be isolated like this. We're hiding behind a wall. We're learning the teachings. Maybe we really trust God. We read our Bible every day. We pray to God every day. We even take the time to write a blog about God. But there's something a little funny about this picture, right? I'm talking to you right now, and you can't see me. And God's calling you to live in community. My experience has been this. Usually, you can see the level of intimacy that someone has with the Lord by the way their intimacy looks in front of other people. Now, I can't prove that in Scripture, but I've kind of noticed that all through time. We can get really filled up with lots of Bible knowledge, but never share it with anyone else. Or we don't take the time to share our life with others. God's given us a great gift, but we're not using it. It might be, there's all kinds of ways we can hide relationally. The path of true rest has Jesus calling us to rest in the waiting as we become vulnerable in the presence of another. In Jeremiah 17:7, not in your notes, you want to write that reference down. Jeremiah 17:7, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Why is that important? Because we are called to wait on God. Don't rush. He is ordering your steps. See, discernment is simply a measure of your capacity to know what to do when you don't know what to do. You know, in Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus and the disciples again. And Jesus does something else that seems a little strange. It's not strange to us because we've read the Bible, but I'm sure it's very strange to them. Jesus is resurrected from the dead, right? So he's going to be there with them. And then Jesus says, I'm going back to heaven and the Holy Spirit's coming. So I'm going to leave you guys here, right? Now there's only 11 disciples, and Jesus leaves them. But the good news, the disciples' measure of faith has been growing, hasn't it? It's been growing. Now they realize that God is coming and that the Holy Spirit is there. So they listen to what Jesus tells them to do, to wait in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come and to show up. You don't need to rush when God says to wait. And I bet they had no idea how difficult life was going to become. But because their measure of faith had grown and grown and grown, they could trust in the Lord. What would happen if the Holy Spirit gave you the ability to see the difference between your good plan versus your God plans? How many of you would like to know that? Yep. I believe the Holy Spirit is revealing that, and he wants to reveal that to you. And we sometimes get stuck on the question of God's will. And actually, I think this is where people get stuck, because they have to make a choice between two equally valid options. How is the Holy Spirit leading me? We talked about what discernment is. Let me share you this little line right here. Prayer gives you the ability to rest after you've discovered the regular discipline of prayer. Stop striving. Believe God to give you the strength to wait on God. What would happen if we just rested and waiting for God to answer your need for a provision or your need for healing or you've just prayed the courage to invite someone to church? God gives us the faith and the courage to overcome what is familiar and comfortable so that we can trust him in everyday life. There is rest in the waiting when we trust in him. Last year, right about this time, I was getting ready for my wife and I, we had a home that we were living in, And it was big enough, at least it appeared big enough to me, and I was pretty satisfied staying in the home. But Haiti, you know, the great voice of the Holy Spirit, at least to me. And she's saying, now, let's talk to your realtor. I was like, okay. So, we, you know, we're going to just meet the realtor. We're going to walk the land, you know. That's a biblical term. And, you know, we meet with a couple realtors, and we take some time to pray about it, and we're in agreement. God's called us to move. And so we start packing up our stuff, and everything's going well in the process, but I'm having a real hard time with one piece of this process. And see, if you ever use one of those realtor app, for example, and you see all the sale prices in the homes that are for sale, it'll tell you if it's pending. And everything in our price range was pending. So we're getting closer and closer to the time that we're supposed to put our house on the market, and there was nothing. And it's coming down to the wire. 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 1 week. Now we're getting down to just a few days. And we're sitting here, we're trying to figure this out. We're trying to see what God's going to do. And we had written this list of things that we wanted to have in our house. And fortunately, God was speaking to my wife. You know that Psalms 46 that we've been talking about this morning? It wasn't in my prayer journal. It just wasn't there. she said to me, God is going to provide the exact house for us when our home goes under contract. We're not even going to see it before that. So May 18th comes. A home is now for sale. We don't see anything that we want to get. And some people said, hey, we want to come see your house. They come see your house. And we're sitting down having family devotions one night. And I pull up my phone and I'm looking at it. I'm like, Haiti, this is a house. And I pull it up and there it was, the house we were supposed to buy. It had not been online at all. It was online that very next day. So the very next day, we walk into the new house. Our home goes under contract the very same time that we're walking into this home. And 24 hours after that, we have a contract on the home that we currently live in. You know, I don't understand how God works all the time. I don't understand all the whys. But there was a place of enduring faith that God was calling us to. Because as we rest in the waiting, God gives us enduring faith to overcome sin, to overcome shortcomings, and the issues we all have all become too familiar with. We're called to have strength in the waiting, to trust in God. God says, be still. I've got this. You may be here this morning, and God is calling you not just to take the next step of obedience, but God is calling you to take the first step of obedience. And that's confession of faith, to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For some of you this morning, it's taking that step of faith to let it all go and believe and trust in him. To come to God just as you are and say, I believe in you. I want to trust in you for this faith. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. God is in control. You do not need to fret. You can have peace that transcends all understanding, and know that God is with you. And I want to invite you this morning to worship and really believe that. And you might be here this morning, you've heard the word, and you just need to have some time here at the altar. Maybe it's that you've felt a little bit discouraged, and God's calling you to have faith again. Or you might be here this morning, and it's time for you to stand strong, to say, you know what, I've got to stand strong in the power of the Holy Spirit and believe that God's Spirit is going to give me strength for the journey that is before me. You might be here this morning and God's calling you to a greater level of living community, to live in the relationships in the body of Christ. Or you might be here this morning and God's just saying, keep waiting. Keep waiting. I've got this. So if any of those things resonate with you, or you just want to have an opportunity to give your heart to the Lord, I'm going to invite you to this altar this morning as we worship him.